I think that many Christians live in a house without knowing much about the house they live in, without understanding the foundations of the faith, which are Old Testament, which are Judaism. And part of that is these 10 laws. Paul wrote to the Romans and said that they, the Gentile church in Rome, you're a wild olive tree. You have been grafted in among them, the Jewish people, so that you might partake of the root and the fatness of the tree. So boast not against the olive tree. And what did Jesus say about the law? He said, don't think that I've come to destroy the law. I haven't come to destroy it, but to what? Fulfill it. Fulfill it. Doesn't it make sense that the very law Jesus came to fulfill, we ought to know something about?
When we think of Moses, a couple of images usually come to mind. Moses standing in his robes, long white beard and hair flying as he raises up his arms with the staff. Before him is a huge body of water, dividing in two. Behind him are multitudes of people at the parting of the Red Sea. And another is Moses standing up on a rocky mountain, long white hair and beard still flying in the wind as he holds up two huge stone tablets, the Ten Commandments. Well, those ideas may not be all that accurate, but they paint some of the picture for where we're headed today as Skip Heitzig launches the series, God's Top Ten. This series takes an in-depth look at each of the Ten Commandments and even opens up an 11th that Jesus gave us in the New Testament. We'll have more on that in just a moment. But first, let's see what's new for May in the Connect with Skip Resource Center.
Ever walk into a movie late? You may never catch up on the plot. Well, same's true of the Bible. Miss the opening book, and you'll have questions all the way through.
Genesis is the foundation. It's the ground floor. If we don't understand the book of Genesis, we won't understand what follows the book of Genesis.
That's Skip Heitzig reminding that our redemption through Jesus' death and resurrection starts in the book of Genesis.
God says to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It's a promise of the Redeemer. It's the seed plot of the rest of the Bible.
Rediscover the foundation of your faith. In Skip Heitzig's book, you can understand the book of Genesis. Our gift to you when you give $35 or more today to help keep this ministry on the air. Request your copy when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. Or you can call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888.
We're covering a lot of ground today as Skip gives an overview of Exodus chapters 19 and 20. So let's open our Bibles or Bible apps and join Skip Heitzig.
Somebody once considered that if Jesus were to do his ministry on earth today, that he would be wanted by the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, for turning water into wine without a license. The EPA for killing fig trees, Environmental Protection Agency. The AMA for practicing medicine without a license, the Department of Health for asking people to open up graves, and for raising the dead, and for feeding 5,000 people in the wilderness. He'd be wanted by the NEA, National Education Association, for teaching without a certificate, OSHA for walking on water without a life jacket and flying without an airplane. He'd be wanted by the SPCA for driving hogs into the sea, the National Board of Psychiatrists for giving people advice on how to live a guilt-free life, the NOW organization for not choosing a woman apostle, by the Abortion Rights League for saying that whoever harms children, it's better that they would never have been born, and by the Interfaith Movement for condemning other religions. Listen, man has his laws, and not everybody likes them. God has his laws. Now, I've discovered that most people don't like those laws. We just saw in the video this little segment about Judge Roy Moore and the Ten Commandments that were placed in that Alabama judicial building and the forcible removal by the federal courts. And here's why. The judge that ordered the removal said the Ten Commandments are unconstitutional, that they represent by their very presence a violation of church and state. I wish he'd travel to the Supreme Court and see still engraved on the lintels Moses holding the Ten Commandments. Well, the Ten Commandments on that monument were a symbol, really. They were symbolic. It were symbolic that God's laws are higher than man's laws. But the removal of those Ten Commandments, that was also a symbol. The symbol was, we've got our own laws. We don't need those. Well, we begin today a series on the Ten Commandments, God's top ten. It's a great summer series. It gives us several weeks together in this section of Scripture. Now, there have been a lot of top ten lists. The FBI has its top ten most wanted fugitives. David Letterman, of course, every night has the top ten. Well, God has his own top ten. And so here's the question. Of all of the important things to put on a list, what would God consider the top 10? That's a good question to keep in mind as we make our approach over this portion of the Bible. What would God consider our life's most important rules? Furthermore, what is our relationship to those rules? Why are we to know them? I guess maybe a better question is, do we know them? What if we, right now, were to take a test, and our test was you have to write out, without looking, this is a closed book test, write out the Ten Commandments from memory. I wonder how many would remember them. Harper's Magazine noted, quote, only 40% of Americans can name more than four of the Ten Commandments, close quote. Recent statistics state that the average Christian scores at the national average. An article in Boston Globe magazine some time back featured a teacher in Boston College named William Kirkpatrick. Fascinating little article. He said that one day in class, they were talking in class about the Ten Commandments. That was the subject of discussion in the course he was teaching, the Ten Commandments. So he wanted to write them on the board so they could look at them as they were discussing the Ten Commandments in that class. William Kirkpatrick said, "It wasn't that individuals couldn't think of them all, but the whole class working together couldn't come up with a completed list." Now, a whole college class of individuals together couldn't remember the Ten Commandments. Well, I'm taking you back to chapter 19, even though the Ten Commandments are in chapter 20. We want to look at some preliminaries today, some preliminary thoughts before we get into it. We want to ask a few questions. Why should we study them? Well, what were they exactly? Why were they given? And what relevance do they have for our lives today? So we go back to chapter 19 to get the fundamentals. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim and had come to the wilderness and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God. And the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Now in chapter 20, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant or female servant, nor your cattle, or your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Why should we study these commandments? What is their importance? The Ten Commandments only takes up a half a page in our Bibles. Now, if you have a large print Bible, it might take up a whole page or a page and a half if you have a really large print Bible. But it's a relatively small section, and it was written so long ago, 3,400 years ago, a ragtag group of people leaving one country, going to another, were given these commandments. Why should we study them? Let me give you a few reasons. Number one, because they're found in Scripture. And I think really that's all the reason we need. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Well, part of the all Scripture is this section of Scripture. It's found in the Bible. And the Bible is God's curriculum. Like it or not, it's what's there. It's his revelation. If you were to go to a university and you were to plot out a course of study to get a certain degree, and in that curriculum of study, you looked it over and you said, okay, this looks good, except that math class. I just would rather not take that math class. Oh, and that English course, I'm not really great in English and it doesn't interest me, so we'll scrap that. Oh, and that biology course, I've never really liked biology, so let's move that aside. I'll put basket weaving in instead, and maybe something else. They would happily say, you can't get your degree unless you follow our curriculum. This is what are our requirements for you to complete it. Well, this is God's curriculum. This is part of it. You say, yeah, but it's Old Testament. Why should Christians study the Old Testament? Paul tells us in Romans 15, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So reason number one we study them is because they're found in Scripture. Here's reason number two. Not only are they found in Scripture, they're foundational to our faith. We believe in Jesus Christ. What was the Bible Jesus quoted from? The Old Testament. Whenever he said, it is written, and by the way, do you know what was the most often quoted book in the Bible by Jesus? Deuteronomy. The second giving of the law, the repetition of the law of God is what Jesus quoted most. I think that many Christians live in a house without knowing much about the house they live in, without understanding the foundations of the faith, which are Old Testament, which are Judaism. And part of that is these 10 laws. Paul wrote to the Romans and said that they, the Gentile church in Rome, you're a wild olive tree. You have been grafted in among them, the Jewish people, so that you might partake of the root and the fatness of the tree. So boast not against the olive tree. And what did Jesus say about the law? He said, don't think that I've come to destroy the law. I haven't come to destroy it, but to what? Fulfill it. Fulfill it. Doesn't it make sense that the very law Jesus came to fulfill, we ought to know something about? So because they're found in Scripture, because they're foundational to our faith, there's a third reason we study them. They're fundamental to our society. American jurisprudence has its basis on the law of Moses in the Ten Commandments. In fact, the Ten Commandments is divided in two. And the second part of the Decalogue, we call it, the Ten Words, the decade of words, the Ten Commandments, the second part deals with the foundational pillars of our society. So honoring parents is foundational to having a strong home. No adultery is foundational to having a strong marriage. Human life is sacred, therefore you're not to take it by murder. There's human rights and property rights and honesty, all of that that is written into the Ten Commandments. And it's not just our society, but other societies. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Abolition of Man, says about the Ten Commandments, many ancient cultures have a surprising agreement in these ethical and moral standards despite the cultural differences. Man has a basic understanding of these standards that God has established for his creation. Well, if people don't know them, no wonder they break them. So let's cure the biblical illiteracy by teaching all Scripture that is inspired. So they're found in Scripture. They're foundational to our faith. They're fundamental to our culture, our society. There's a fourth reason we study it. Because they have been forsaken in our culture. They've been forsaken. I'll tell you what I've discovered. You may or may not agree. But as I look at the society in which I live, I see an aimlessness. A lack of direction. It's pervasive. And it's largely because whatever principles our nation was once founded on, and many of them were biblical, we've departed from. Now, when a nation departs from God, when anybody departs from God, they will depart from obeying their parents. When you depart from God, you depart from protecting human life. When you depart from God, you depart from fidelity to a spouse. They've been forsaken by our culture. You see, whenever you push God's laws aside, and by and large, our country has done that, because most people don't believe in any set of absolutes. When you push God's laws aside, you got to put something in their place. And you know what's in its place? Pure existentialism. This is how it goes. Well, I'm glad that's good for you. You're good. May not be my good. My truth may not be your truth. I'm glad you have your truth. There's no such thing in our culture anymore as the truth. It's very arbitrary. Now, if you keep that as the standard and you take it out to its logical conclusion, you will end in despair because you don't know where the line is. There is no line to draw and say right, wrong. There's no moorings. You'll end in despair. I'll give an example. I'm going to give you a quote from somebody that's considered one of the smartest people ever. I want you to keep that in mind. You're about to hear words of a smart person. This guy won the Nobel Peace Prize in Medicine and Physiology, Dr. Albert Szent-Györgyi. He was asked what he would do if he was 20 years old again today. Listen to his optimism. I'd share with my classmates the rejection of the world as it is, all of it. Is there any point to study and work? Fornication, at least that is something good. What else is there to do? Fornicate and take drugs against this terrible strain of idiots who govern the world. Close quote. Wow. That's a smart guy. You want to go to him for counseling? Going to walk away with a positive note from that? Now, here's someone who has his own moral standard apart from any commandment and has ended in despair. The last 30 years in our culture, We've been told to question authority. Remember the early bumper sticker, some of you? Question authority. We've done that. We've questioned moral authority. We are questioning political authority. We've questioned spiritual authority. So no longer do people say this is right and this is wrong, but do what feels right to you at the moment. There's a fifth reason we should study them. Because they're forgotten by the church. They're forgotten by the church. I know they're the Bible. It's in the Bible, but these commandments are forgotten by the church. The sewage of the world is seeping into the church, and that's a concern. Listen to this. It's a recent poll. 67% of Americans do not believe in moral absolutes. 67%. Now, I got to tell you, that doesn't surprise me. Probably doesn't surprise you either. 67% of Americans don't believe in moral absolutes. But maybe the second part will shock you. 62% of professing Christians say there's no absolute standard of right and wrong. Now that shows that whatever sewage is in our culture that has thrown out the laws of God is seeping in among us. No wonder you have New Age churches, they call themselves. Homosexual churches, healing crystal churches. You see, God has been dragged down into the gutter as if he sanctions everything because we're making up our own laws. So that's their importance. That's why we will study them.
Well, there's a lot of history behind the Ten Commandments, and as we study, we'll begin to see the importance of them in our lives. That's where we'll have to pause for today. This is Connect with Skip Weekend Edition. The teaching you just heard was part one of God's Top Ten list. This new series called God's Top Ten is all about the Ten Commandments, and it's available as individual teachings for just $4 plus shipping, or if you want to get the entire 17 teaching series, that's available for only $39. Learn more and order today from connectwithskip.com, where you can also find out about this month's special resource.
The book of Genesis contains some of the most iconic Bible stories written. But did you know that there is deep spiritual significance in each of those familiar stories? In the creation story, we discover how much God loves his creation and how he considers humankind his crowning achievement. And in the story of the fall of man, the very first sin, we find God's plan to defeat sin once and for all. We want to help you uncover greater significance in the first book of the Bible by sending you Skip Heitzig's book, You Can Understand the Book of Genesis. Get a fresh look and a deeper understanding of the familiar stories that form the very foundation of our faith. You Can Understand the Book of Genesis is our way of saying thanks for your generous gift of $35 or more today to help expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Heitzig. So call now to get your copy of this insightful resource. 800-922-1888. You can also give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
God's Top Ten are essential to our lives. We'll dive in some more next time here in Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his wound. Make a connection. A connection. A connection.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.